Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Stand once you've reached that passage, please. Out of respect for God's word, Genesis chapter 3. I know we're almost done with Romans, and I'm ready to finish Romans, but Lord just had something different on my heart. I was actually preparing this for Sunday because I forgot that, well, Brother Danny's preaching Sunday, so I put this on the back burner, started to get ready for Romans. The Lord said, "No, go back to that." So I hope this will be a blessing to you, and we'll get back to Romans once we get done with our spring revival and everything, and we'll finish that up, and I know the Lord will bless. Let's start in verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave of me the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it, and all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd just bless us tonight, Lord. I pray, God, you'd search our hearts, Lord, and we'd point out the things, Lord, that just don't belong. I pray, God, that we would actually hear your voice tonight. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You can be seated. Very first lie ever told. Ye shall not surely die. Satan's very first lie. He is the father of lies, according to Jesus Christ. Amen? So the very first lie is, ye shall not surely die. And I can't help but notice that Satan, not only is it his first lie, but I believe it's his favorite. And we'll look tonight at the power of this lie, the perpetual power of this lie. We'll talk to us tonight about it won't kill you. It won't kill you. Adam and Eve pretty much had it better than anyone else ever in all time. Amen? I mean, come on. The earth was good. Not called good by you or by I, but called good by God. The earth was good. Everything that he had made was good. You know what that means? There was no sin. Sinless. Adam didn't wake up every morning and have to wrestle with impure thoughts or with bitterness. Eve didn't wake up every morning and have to wrestle with how horrible her husband was because he was perfect, ladies. Eve was married to the perfect man. And she ruined him. Sorry. Sorry. I meddled. Adam and Eve had it good. God put him in the perfect place. Now, I want you to think about something here. God had made the entire earth, and it was all good. Imagine how good this place was, because this is where he chose to put them. Okay? This Garden of Eden. Okay? This was a real good place. I'm talking, look, I like fruit. I do. I couldn't imagine eating the fruit that they had, because we got tainted fruit. We've got horribly tainted fruit because you can taste the pesticides in it sometimes. But they had perfect food. They had it good. And we don't know how long they had it good. We don't. And I've got some theories, not about how long it was, because they're man. I don't think it took all that long. But I think that they had built a good relationship with God. Adam knew who God was. They walked with him, obviously, on a regular basis, because God came to walk with them, but they weren't there after they had sinned. So they had it good. And I can't imagine how smart they were. Listen, I can't remember y'all's names sometimes. Adam named every animal on the face of the earth. That's amazing. That takes an intellect. That takes a very deep intellect. And I personally, this is the only thing that makes sense to me. This is the only thing that makes sense to me. I personally believe they had to be able to communicate with the animals. Because if a snake comes up and says, hey, hath God said to me, I'm not sticking around to find out what else he has to say. Because animals ain't supposed to talk, Chris. Right? So it had to be commonplace for them to be able to communicate in some way, shape, or form. But here Eve is in the midst of the garden. And, you know, this is another thing. We have this, and I've said this before, and I stand by this. We got this mentality where we think, well, chapter 1, 2, and 3, you know, 6 days, 7 days, and, you know, it's probably the 8th day that Adam and Eve messed up and everything just happened. No, I think it was a little bit longer than that. I think there's some time here. I think that there's some time here between Eve and this serpent. I don't think the serpent just up and said, you know what, you should cross God. Because he doesn't do that with me, does he? Does he do that with you? No, he beguiles us. And Eve was beguiled. The Bible says that Eve was beguiled. And so the serpent comes up and says, yea, hath God said. She starts to question God's word. And then he brings it. He brings the lie. Ye shall not surely die. The first lie. Sin has always and will always start with a lie. That's where sin starts. This first lie and his favorite lie. I can't help but think of today. You know, because it's still his favorite lie. He still likes to tell folks, ye shall not surely die. Because, see, here we are. We're supposed to be a good witness for the Lord, right? So what do? We tell folks, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of all things, came to this earth and lived a sinless life. And he laid that sinless life down on the cross one day. And he gave that life and shed his blood to cover our sins, to pay for our sins. And he rose again the third day. What's that? That's the gospel. We tell folks the gospel. And the Bible says that if you don't believe the gospel, then ye will die. You are condemned. The Bible says if you believe it not, you are condemned already. Amen? So what's the devil tell them? Same lie. Same lie. It's just amended. Oh, a loving God wouldn't send folks to hell. Ye shall not surely die. Oh, hell will be a big party. Ye shall not surely die. Hell isn't even real. Because that's the main thing today. Hell, there is no hell. Hell's here on earth. Ye shall not surely die. It's the same lie, folks. It's the same lie. And what does it do? That lie beguiles people. It blinds them. It blinds them because they won't see Jesus Christ through a lie. Do you understand that? This is another reason why I have such a problem with the perversions. You can't see Jesus Christ properly through a lie. Amen. Sin is always and will always start with a lie, and an entertained lie, and what I mean by entertained, you start listening to that lie. You start listening to that lie. An entertained lie will always distort our perception. And when we start to listen to a lie, it changes the way that we look at things. Satan got Eve to question a few things about God. He said, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." She got him, or he got her, I'm sorry, to question God's intellect, God's intentions, and God's very identity. She started to have a different view of who God was. Here's this God that she'd been walking and talking with. He created her. He put her in a perfect place. He was taking care of her every need, gave her the perfect job, gave her the perfect husband. Everything was perfect. We've been looking for it ever since. Amen? Oh, come on. Are you guys with me tonight? Amen. We've been looking for it ever since. And she's got perfection. And here comes the devil, and he says, you know, God's just holding out on you. God doesn't want you to know what God knows. And so she starts to question God's intellect. Well, maybe God didn't mean that. Just like we kind of do today. Well, you know, I know what the Bible says, but God didn't really mean that. You know what that is? Yea, hath God said. It's exactly what that is. So she starts to look at God a little different. Then her perception of God is now that he doesn't want us to be like him. What did God say? The truth. Here's the truth. We're going to look at three absolute truths here, okay? The truth in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Man was created in God's image. You know what that means? They were fashioned like unto God. You understand that? Amen? They were perfect. The truth. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." What did Paul just say there? When we look into this, I like being a man, Chris. Here's my morning. I don't need a mirror to brush my teeth. Don't need it. Don't want to see what's there anyways. Not first thing in the morning especially. Nothing from you. But I can go, done. Not you guys, or not you gals. No. You guys get in the mirror. Seriously, my wife has got at least two different bags that have makeup in it. And my daughters, my goodness. It's ridiculous. And they've got makeup removers, okay? They've got all kinds of different types of makeup. I mean, you have to have a base. That's my base. I don't need a mirror for it either. But they have to have a base. And then they have to change. Why? Well, they're looking in the mirror and they don't like what they see. I may not like what I see, but I don't care enough to change it. That's a different type of problem. But women, they spackle all that stuff on and brush and crimp. I mean, they got pliers for their eyes. Why? Why, brother? I wouldn't let a pair of pliers near my eyes. But they have pliers for their eyes, Brother Tom. Did you know that? And they've got, I mean, seriously, the eyes, they're the windows of the soul and apparently what everybody's looking at, because you've got mascara, eyeliner, eyeshadow. I'm missing probably at least two other items that can go in the eye, okay? You know what I do to my eyes? I sometimes wipe the sleep out of them. That's it. But women, they look in that mirror and they don't like what they see, so what do? They do all the work to change it, don't they? Here's the problem. You got to do it again tomorrow. And you put all the paint on that barn you want, it's still a barn. Just kidding. Just kidding. I was only talking to her. All that work, and you still got to do it again tomorrow. And you got to do it again the next day. Man, am I glad I'm a man. I don't have to do anything. And I have hair, so I mean, you guys got it easy. But as a child of God, we're to look in this. This is the mirror. Now, the thing is, when we look, we're not going to like what we see. Because, see, if you're looking at this and you see you, then you're going to see the imperfections. But the good thing is, when you keep looking and you let this do the work and you let this start showing you a different image, that's what that verse is talking about. When you keep looking in this and it keeps making the changes, how many of you ladies would like a mirror that did it for you? Wouldn't that be nice? Just look in the mirror, push a button, voila. Right? Here it is, spiritually speaking. It does the work for you. That's what grace is. And so the truth is, God wants to make us into his image. Another truth in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am I known. Don't ever believe the lie that God doesn't want you to be like him. He's done everything he possibly could to make you like him. And when it's all said and done, we're going to be exactly like him. But see, the devil's still out there lying. And he wants folks to think that God doesn't really want you to be like him. When we don't see God as he is, when you start thinking that God has it out for you, God doesn't want you to be like him, God's holding out on you, then it changes your perception of God. It changes the way that you look at God. It changes the way you believe about God. When we don't see God as he is, it makes sin seem pleasant. Because see, when we're not looking at God the right way, well then sin's going to seem pleasant. That's what the Bible says here. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Why? She had believed a lie. She was entertaining a lie. And so now God wasn't looking like he was supposed to look. So sin looked better. When we don't see God as he is, it makes sin desirable. The Bible says that she desired it to make one wise, because God wasn't getting the job done. Why? Because she was believing a lie. Sin always and will always start with a lie. An entertained lie will always distort our perception. And with a distorted perception of God, he must be replaced. Let me make that plain. when we don't see God the way that he's supposed to be seen, holy, 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 righteous, sinless, loving, merciful, compassionate, tender, long-suffering, gentle, kind, this is my God. But the devil would have us believe the opposite of all of these. That God's okay with us not being holy. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Be holy for I am holy is what the Bible says. That God's not really interested in my life. Well, no, that's a lie. That God really doesn't want me to be like him. No, he's done everything to make you into his image. But see, when we start to get a distorted view of who God is, well, God's not going to hold up his end of the bargain. So then I've got to replace him. And that's what happened. That's what Eve decided to do. We've got to replace him. When we don't believe God is truth, then we have replaced him with this lie. God doesn't love me. God doesn't want me to have fun. God doesn't want me to succeed. These are all lies. But see, a lie does what? It begets a lie. And so, just like Eve, and listen, I know, trust me, I know there's ladies that have gone, and men that have said, oh my goodness, how could Eve be so stupid? Well, you know what? She was the mother of all, so you would have been just as stupid. We would have made the exact same mistakes. We would have been beguiled just as easily as she was. We would have listened to the lie, let it change how we look at God, and then replaced him because she felt like God wasn't going to hold up his end of the deal. When we don't perceive God as good, we replace him with what we think is good. When we don't see God as good, listen, Eve quit seeing God as good and saw that the fruit was good. Why? She took her eyes off of him to listen to a lie. So when God isn't looked at how he ought to be looked at, we don't see him as good, then we have to replace him with what we believe is good. I can dress myself. I can dress however I want. I am doing my best. I am good enough. Lies beget lies. When we disobey God, we have replaced him as the master of our life. What did Eve do? She took the fruit. She ate the fruit. That was disobedience. And when we disobey God, we're saying, God, what you said isn't what I should do. I'm going to do and decide what I should do. When we don't see God for who he is and how he is, then we take him off the throne that he's supposed to be sitting on, and we get on it. And we've replaced him. We are no better than Eve. When we disobey God and replace him as the master, we feel like we can do what we want. I can make up my own mind. I can have what I want. Now the problem is, when God's not in his place, we can't be in ours. When God's not in his place, what's that mean? When he's not on the throne in your life is not going to be where it needs to be. It can't be. What happened to Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve, they sinned. Did they get to stay in that perfect garden? No. Did they get to stay in the innocence that they had? No. Did they get to stay in his image? No. They lost all that. Why? They disobeyed. They took God off the throne and got on it themselves. And while Eve may have been beguiled, Adam chose to go against everything he knew to be true about God. And we do the exact same thing. We entertain a lie. We start listening to these lies that the devil has for us, and whatever fashion he puts them in, they all come down to the point that ye shall not surely die. But my Bible tells me that the wages of sin is death. That means when you sin, it brings death. James 4:17 says, Oh, no, that's the wrong verse. I'm sorry. I was going to quote the wrong verse there. I'm just going to keep going. When God is not in his place, we cannot be in ours. We lose our providence, we lose our protection, and we lose our power. When God is not in the right place in our life, we don't get his blessings. Listen, God has promised to meet the needs of his children. You can look throughout the Old Testament. God always meets the needs, but he never blesses those that aren't where they're supposed to be. He may meet the needs, but he doesn't bless them. And when I'm not allowing God to be where he's supposed to be, then I don't get the providence. I don't get the blessings of God. I don't get the protection. I so thank God for his protection. I mean, from so many things. Just today, a mighty devourer was eaten by God. I praise God for it. There was no way we were going to get out of this situation we were in, but God did it. He took the devourer out. He made it so it was all gone and gone away. Well, that was his protection. It amazes me that he does that. But see, when I step out from underneath what he has for me, when I step onto the throne because I've taken him off, then I don't get his providence and I don't get his protection, and I most certainly don't get his power. You know what that means? He's given me the power to not let sin have dominion over me. But when I take him off the throne and I get on the throne, guess what's going to dominionate me like you wouldn't believe? Sin. Because a lie always leads to sin. The good thing is, when we repent and make restitution and restore God to his throne, we get some things back. But let me tell you, there must be a sacrifice. There must be a sacrifice. When Adam and Eve sinned, there was a sacrifice. Blood was shed for Adam and Eve. God, yes, did promise his son, but there has to be a sacrifice. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, in order for you to put God back on his throne of your life, you have to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And child of God, if you've got yourself wrapped up in sin because you've believed a lie and you've got yourself up on the throne of your heart, repent and make restitution. There must be a sacrifice. Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's that mean? Repent. Turn away from those sins. Turn away from those things. Put the lie down. Get off the throne. Let God back on the throne. Start obeying him in your life. Well, I've got to get some things squared away first. No, you can't square them away. You can never, ever get back the image of God, get back the innocence of God, get back the identity of God without there being a sacrifice. And I'm so glad that when we do that, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I do that, and I make my body, present my body a living sacrifice, because it's my reasonable service, by the way, when I do that, though, I get his image. Remember, the devil wanted to convince me that God didn't want me to be like him, but I can start looking like him again. I get his innocence. I'm sinless. I get his identity. Oh, my goodness, I'm so glad for the identity of Jesus Christ in our life, that folks can look at us and see something better when we're looking in the mirror and letting it change us. I can just hear Satan now. God didn't really mean that. Go ahead. Look at that. You know you want it. You know you deserve it. You know you'll enjoy it. It will probably make life better. Come on. It won't kill you. The same lie that he told Eve. It's just worded for us today. It's the same lie. And we do it. God's holding out. We'll look at something. We'll see something, whatever it might be. A job we want. A person we want to be with. an activity we want to involve ourselves in, whatever it might be, we'll look at it. And it looks good. And the devil says, I know what God said, but what he really meant was, yea, hath God said. And then the Holy Spirit will say, but the wages of sin is death, my child. And then the devil will say, come on, look at it. Doesn't that look good? Look, you deserve that job. You deserve to be happy. You have every right to that. Doesn't that look good? Doesn't that look like you? I mean, come on. That should be you over there having that good time. It won't kill you. It won't kill you. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please stand with me.